Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And, yeah, yo, welcome. Good day to you. You, the individual on the other side of the radio, in the car, with the Walkman. Hello. I'm Farley, and I'm here. Even though Uranus is opposed to my Uranus and Neptune is square my Neptune, it doesn't matter, because I'm happier than I've ever been in my whole life. Even though I have 10,000 details to take care of, I don't care. And if you're 39, 40, or 41, or 42, I understand. Have a nice day. All right. Yo. Well, we're talking about degrees of the zodiac this week, and yet another day to call up to find out what your rising degree means. Today's topic is called exact aspects and exact transit aspects, or the miracle of astrological validation, whichever you would like to use or say to explain today's topic. Yesterday we talked about exact conjunctions and the eeriness of identification of people you may know in your life or have dealings with, where literally there is a definite reflection of the God spark that is inside of you. I mean, let's face it, the third dimension is illusion of separation for sure. But at the same time, in order for us to strive to get back to the God source, to the oneness of God that we all share, and to plug into the messianic self, in order for us to do that, we need tips, we need hints, we need little tricks, riddles that will help guide us back. And astrology, of course, is one of those mechanical vehicles that we use to analyze our uniqueness and also plug in and understand this illusion of separation that we have chosen. It's fun, but you can actually discover the oneness of God that you share in little things that happen in your life. For example, you may discover the oneness that you have with God in a relationship you might have. Suddenly you'll have a vibration or an emotion or a feeling that you have never had before, and it makes you feel like your loneliness is gone, it's disappeared, and you suddenly feel together or bound by a pillowy softness in this universe. I remember some exciting experiences I have had in my meditations and also in my sleep state, in my dream state, when I really felt that I plugged into God, when I really felt that I finally was involved in something more blissful than anything I could possibly experience in this lifetime. I guess this is the reason why I like to sleep with pillows. But the point is that when I meditated, and when I was in this particular dream state, I reached such a high level of consciousness in my trance that I suddenly felt a love around me, a love vibration, abounding, a pillowy softness, like I was surrounded by these love pillows, love pillows that suddenly must have made me feel like a baby bird in a nest surrounded by a bunch of little other baby birds, and with the mother nestled on top, keeping us all warm and loving. It was a feeling where suddenly the aloneness, the loneliness was abated, and suddenly I felt this oneness with all things, with all the universe, with God and with all people. And since that day forward, even if I don't like someone, I can still feel the oneness that I share with them. And that's why when I go to sleep at night, it helps me to sleep when I have 4, 5, 6 large pillows around me that kind of imitate this experience that I had. But not everybody has a pillow sensation like that. If you do, congratulations. I hope you enjoy it. At the same time, when we are sitting there trying to differentiate without having this particular miracle occur, because not everybody is in a situation where they can have a miracle like that occur, then we have to find this oneness and this tenderness and this loving vibration somewhere else. And obviously, we find it in other people many times. So yesterday's show was all about plugging in to zeroing in with people you know or you have known or will meet that have planets in their charts at exactly the same degrees as the planet that you might have in your chart. See, there's 360 degrees in the zodiac, and everyone has 11 of those degrees in their sun, moon, rising sign, and their 8 planets besides the Earth. 3 plus 8 equal 11. So we all are walking around with 11 360ths of a factor that some people, we might have one 360th in common, or if they have an exact degree, or two 360th in common. And sometimes you'll meet people that have four, five, six planets at the same degrees in your chart. Then it's like, whoa! Actually, frankly, if you can find somebody born on the same day as you, well, you know, that's going to be very significant. Or obviously if you're a twin, because then the people you're around are going to have not only the same planets where your signs are, but they're going to have the same planets, same degrees, with exception maybe of the moon or the rising sign. It's a very uncanny reflection. So you might be able to sense the oneness there. But along these lines, you will also meet people that have planets in their chart that are not in the same degrees, same signs, but they will be in the same numbers. And this is when we go beyond just looking at what we call for the oneness in God that we might share. But now we're looking for trying to identify, number one, people that we know will serve as a karma catalyzer for our lives. In other words, where this may be a passion pain situation or experience. And if it is too much pain, then hopefully we will evolve beyond it. And that is definitely identified as a karma or a debt or some vibration set forth either in this lifetime or one of the numerous previous lifetimes prior to this existence. And then also people that share exact numbers, not exact degrees. Because I have Mars at 15 Libra, then I will have a karma or a dharma with everyone I will meet in this lifetime that has any planet in any sign at 15 degrees. Because I know that 15 degrees of every sign, whether it's Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, or Virgo, 15 degrees of any of those signs will aspect my Mars in Libra at 15. And see, now the question is, how do you know whether it is a karma or a debt situation? That can be fun too, because a lot of people, obviously, because we are human and we are involved in this illusion of separation in this great karmic whirlpool, we are bound to have karma with ourselves concerning many people we will meet. But then there's the positive vibration, the dharma, the occasional experience where you have history with people in past lives where you actually had fun, you did something good, you actually served mankind, you helped mankind, you healed mankind. And those are the aspects that are really a lot of fun. So how do you differentiate between the karmic relationships and the dharmic relationships? Well, that's easy. If you take a pen, or if you're recording this show, I'll explain to you how. First of all, if a planet in another person's chart is at an exact degree as a planet in your chart, like let's say you have a 17 Scorpio planet, and the other person you just met has something at 17 in any sign, well, you know that you either have a karma or a dharma with them. Now, if it's a dharma, if it's a positive exchange, or if it's a fun experience from a past life, it will be due to that exact aspect being either a semi-sextile, which is when a planet is one sign away from a planet in your chart, 30 full degrees, and it would be 30 exact with this topic today, a sextile, which is 60 full degrees, or two full signs away, or a trine, which would be four full signs away, or 120 degrees, and obviously the trine being a element complement, fire to fire, earth to earth, air to air, or water to water, then that is the strongest of the dharmic vibration in comparison between two people. So for example, going back to my Mars at 15 Libra, if somebody had either Virgo or Scorpio planets at 15, one sign away from that Libra, then that would be a semi-sextile or a minor dharma. If somebody had a planet at Sag 15 or Leo 15, that would be two signs away or a sextile dharma, which is a bit stronger. And then if somebody had a planet at 15 Aquarius or 15 Gemini, four signs away on either side or 120 degrees away, that would be the trine or the strongest dharma, meaning that something very powerful happened in a past life, which can make this relationship not only fun, but extremely enjoyable. But then identifying the karma that we have with ourselves concerning other people that act as catalyzers for our growth, we are looking for planets that would be either three full signs away, which would be called a square or a 90 degree exact aspect. And once again, referring back to my Mars at 15 Libra, if I ever meet people with planets in square to that Mars, three signs away on one side would be a Capricorn planet, or on the other side would be a Cancer planet. So people with Capricorn 15 and Cancer 15 planets square my Mars at 15 Libra have always served to be extremely karmic relationships. That's why it's real easy to zero in on who you have karma with and who you have dharma with. You always have karma with yourself. Now, people that have aspects in their charts that are karmic to yours will reveal a catalyst effect to help propel and help you experience this karmic vibration. whereas I think you have Dharma with the universe. Okay. And then if someone has a sign, a planet five signs away exact, 150 degrees, and once again for Libra, it would either be Pisces or Taurus, 15 Pisces or 15 Taurus, would be quinx or inconjunct, I-N-C-O-N-J-U-N-C-T, an inconjunct or nicknamed quinx aspect to my Mars, which is also karmic, five signs away, and then six full signs away, or a planet in Aries, which is the sign opposite Libra, Aries 15. This is a toss-up, because unless that planet opposite the planet in your chart, in a comparison, of course, is Saturn, Uranus, and sometimes Neptune or Pluto, a planet opposite a planet in your chart, be it either Moon, Sun, unless you're Saturn, Uranus, or sometimes Neptune or Pluto is included, oppositions can be either karmic or dharmic, because sometimes oppositions can reveal balance. Okay, I want to make that clear to you. And opposites do attract not only magnetism, but also in astrology. So a Sun opposition, Sun-Moon opposition, Sun-Mercury opposition, or any combination of Sun, Mercury, Venus, or Mars, or Jupiter in opposition between your chart and another person's chart can be a dharmic or positive vibration. Aha, but if Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto are opposed, look out, because those are higher forms of lessons or karma. Now, in the next segment of this topic, we're talking about exact aspects and exact degrees all this week. And we're also talking today about exact transit aspects. See, because the purpose of this week's show, the Astrology Hour, is to help those of you that are students of astrology and moving, you know, well along into your studies, to help give you tips and hints as to how you can truly validate the power and the magic that astrology bestows upon us. Because when you start studying these exact degrees and exact aspects, then things start getting freaky as far as validation goes. That's why in the next segment of today's show, we are going to talk about exact transit aspects and when you can expect or predict karmic or dharmic experiences in life to occur. Okay, so that should be fun. This is KFOX 93.5 FM, Redondo Beach. I'm Farley Malaris. You're listening to the Astrology Hour, heard weekdays at this time right at 12 noon. And we're going to go to the phones in a moment, but I want to talk just a little bit about exact transits. You see, transits, the definition of a transiting planet means a mobile planet. You see, like, there's two planets in astrology that we always refer to. The fixed planets are the frozen planets that are in the natal chart. Because a natal chart actually is a flash in the pan of what goes on in the universe the moment you take your first breath. Those planets never move. They stay frozen. That's why when I tell you to memorize and learn your degrees, I'm telling you to know your fixed planets. And that is also defined as, quote, the chart, unquote. Now, the transiting planets, the second chart that we all embrace, are the moving planets in the sky. You see, the planets don't sit still. They move, and some of them are going quite fast. So all the planets, including the Sun and the Moon, which are identified as luminaries, some people also call them planets also, the Sun, Moon, and Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto all move at different speeds. So it's almost like the rising sign, or the sign in the eastern horizon that moves so fast, 1 degree approximately every 4 minutes. That is actually like the second hand of God. And the moon, which actually moves approximately 1 degree every 2 hours, is like the minute hand of God. Now, when we start getting down to the hour hand of God and beyond, see, like the clock of the zodiac obviously has many more hands than just a clock, because you got to remember all the planets are out there moving. But we do find that as we get farther away from the sun, Mercury moving the fastest, right, because it's closest to the sun, so it moves the fastest through our charts, next to the moon and the rising sign. Venus next. Mercury and Venus take about a month or less to go through a sign unless they go retrograde, which means that they are appearing to move backward in space because the Earth's orbit is quicker at that point in our orbit than those planets are. So they appear to be backing up in space and also into the zodiac, which they're not really backing up, but we identify that phenomenon as retrograde motion. And when planets are going forward, they're in direct motion. Anyway, when the moving planet's in the sky, and as you know, as you get farther out, you know, Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune, Jupiter stays in the sign for 1 full year approximately, although in Taurus this year it's just zipping through Taurus about 6-7 months, which is quite unusual, but once in a while Jupiter will do that. Saturn stays in a sign about 2.5 years, Uranus 7 years in one sign, Neptune 12 to 16 years, same with Pluto. So obviously, the further out you get, the slower these planets move, and that's why it's easier to pinpoint transits on the outer planets, because they are so slow. they could hang out on 1 degree for months, you know, and you're like sitting there going, get off of my square moon or whatever you're doing. Anyway, so there's the definition right there of transiting planets, the moving planets, the clock of the zodiac. And this is really how we identify, analyze, and understand predictive astrology or trend astrology. Because astrologers know what the planets mean in the frozen charts, in the fixed charts, the natal chart, the birth chart, right? And they know actually what the houses and aspects mean in the natal and birth charts, so they understand the basic karma and the dharma of the individual. This karma and dharma is triggered by the moving planets in the sky. Why? Because each and every cell in your body, in your brain, in your astral body, and in your cosmic body are literally charged with the imprint of the cosmic effect that occurs when the baby does come out of the womb, when the umbilical cord is cut, and when the first breath is inhaled. I can't explain it. I'm not sure I understand it totally, but I have proven that something does go on at birth that literally imprints the universe on our bodies and on our souls at birth. And that is why understanding the magnetic effect, the cosmic effect from the birth chart is so important. I'll tell you why. Because when the moving planets in the sky move through signs in the zodiac, they set off the fixed planets that are in our bodies, that are in our brain cells. See, each and every one of our cells has an imprint of our natal chart on there. That's why when we tell you you have a Scorpio moon, you have a Scorpio moon in every single cell, in every single level of your physical conscious self. See? And that's why you are so susceptible to be impelled during certain transit effects. That's why when there's a planet in the sky that is sitting on a planet in your chart in comparison to location, right? Like, for example, we have, just to give you a wild example, we have Venus at 20 degrees of Gemini today. And it is exactly trying my Libra rising at 20. And I do look and feel good, even though certain parts of my life aren't working the way I'd like them to. I still have a wonderful bounce back ratio. And I am being very philosophical this week because Venus has been in my 8th house. It's entering my 9th house today. That's why some of these far out advanced, intense, freaky topics have been coming out of me because of Venus. Venus is my chart ruler, Libra rising. So what we find, okay, is when planets in the sky move through the 12 signs of the zodiac, they will trigger the planets in our chart, which represents the cellular structure astrologically of our bodies and of our minds. See, that is why to understand astrology, the natal effect and the transit effect is a wonderful advantage to understanding the mechanics of life on Earth in this dimension. Isn't it far out? I love it. So at the same time, if you understand the aspects, if you get your charts from us, and if you study the aspects in the instruction sheet to find out what these squares, trines, oppositions, sextiles, and conjunctions mean, or if you pick up a book like Debbie Kempton Smith, Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook, then you'll be able to understand what transit aspects are. Aspects mean the magnetic effect that goes on between the planets when we are born, because sometimes planets are friendly to each other, and that's the dharma. And sometimes planets are in a stress aspect to each other, and that's where we can identify the karma. So we can identify, like I said, the dharma from semi-sextiles, sextiles, and trines, and the karma from squares in conjuncts, or quinxes, called quinxes, and oppositions, also conjunctions. And that's natally. But we can also identify dharmic effects that are about to happen to our lives. See, in a future tense, in a predictive state, by looking towards or ahead towards planets setting off trines, two planets in our chart, setting off sextiles and semi-sextiles, two planets in our chart, and then we know something good is about to happen. We might get a raise, we might get a promotion, we might win a lotto, we might fall in love, we might have great sex, we might lose weight or feel good about ourselves, or get a good health report from the doctor during those times. At the same time, see, if there's a planet in the sky that is about to trine a planet in our chart, like that Venus in Gemini, which trines my air Libra, Venus in air Gemini at 20, exactly trines my air Libra at 20. The trick here is to understand that aspects take effect 4 degrees approaching a planet in your chart and 2 degrees passing that planet. That's when the transit effect takes place. But you really can plug in and put your finger on confirming the power of astrology when that degree, that transit degree, is exact, like Venus at 20 in the sky and my rising at 20 Libra. See, Venus has been 16, 17, 18, and 19 the past few days, so it has been trying my ascendant. But today, it's exact. And that's why I can feel that aspect more, because my body is actually affected by that Venus trine. I hope that's clear to you. I know this is an advanced topic, and I keep telling people, if you want to learn about astrology, the Astrology Hour is an advanced show. Sometimes we go from nursery school to college level, but by recording these shows and saving them, one day as you rebirth in your awareness, you will be able to understand what I'm talking about, and at that point, you will thank me. And that's why the success of this show is really based on some of the higher concepts metaphysically and astrologically I can try to offer to the audience of Southern California. So it's interesting to note that astrology can be confirmed and validated, and the magic of astrology can really be discovered when you understand exact degrees of either comparison between you and another person that can reveal dharma or karma, or during a transit when either you're having a conjunction, a sextile, a semi-sextile, a square, a trine, an inconjunct, or an opposition. When you have any one of these aspects transiting from the sky to your chart, then they can also reveal a power or an experience in your life that where you can say, wow, look at that. I'm having a Venus square Saturn today. It says in my transit, watch overindulgence. I pigged out this morning and this evening. And watch your money, watch your finances, and I bought a house. And now I've got a $1,200 a month mortgage, and I didn't even look at my transits to see if it was there. And you know, that the transit forecast in segue, what we do to help people understand some of the more complicated aspects of astrology is we throw in these transit forecasts, which help you understand and figure out when your transits are going to occur. See, we give you a date on the left side that tells you when the transit will peak or when the degree is exact. And then we give you a period when it starts, when the full effect of this transit starts, and also an ending date when it's over. So the transit forecast is wonderful because we help you figure out, we give you instructions with that too. We also help you figure out when these future events are going to happen and what you can expect them to be when they do happen. Okay, we're ready to go to the phones, and in lieu of any question you might have about your personal life, I would love to analyze your degree of rising sign. And if you've already heard your degree of rising sign, you can ask me any single degree of a planet in your chart, either the moon, the sun, the Mars, the Venus. If you've already heard the degree of rising, then you can ask me any other degree, and I will try to explain to you best I can what each degree means, because I've been researching this and I'm trying to understand what all of the 360 degrees in the zodiac mean. Let's finally go to Elizabeth, who has a question about a friend who's a Sag Gemini rising. Hi.
Hi.
Didn't I just talk to you?
No, you saw me about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I thought you were around there somewhere.
Yeah. In fact, my girlfriend's rising is at 20, not 28.
Okay, is that what you want me to look up?
And no, she wants to know when's the best time for her to get married in May.
Ooh, does she have to get married in May?
Well, she wants to, but if not, if you don't see anything good, then when would be the best time for her?
I don't know. There's a sun Jupiter opposed Pluto during the beginning of May. But then Venus goes retrograde during the end of May. But we do have a Venus trine Mars also in the end of May. So I would probably say, no, wait a second, yeah. Gosh, it's so hard. I would probably say during the Venus trine Mars, where Venus is zero Cancer and Mars is zero Pisces, which is right around the 22nd of May. But I would probably put emphasis on sometime around 12 noon on May 18th. I don't guarantee happiness, though, okay?
Okay.
May 18th, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Judy now, Virgo. I think Virgo, Aquarius rising. Are you a Virgo?
Yes.
All right, Jude.
How you doing?
Very good.
Great. I'm calling to ask you about my 19 degrees Aquarius rising, and forgive me if you've already said it because my radio has been broken, and I don't want you to have to repeat yourself, but also I'd love you to comment on a girlfriend of mine that is a high school friend that I just found out yesterday we have 7 exact numbers the same in our chart.
Well, you must love her.
I do dearly, but I'm just wondering, you know, you were saying something about, you know, I know we're all soulmates, but just does that mean that we're extra connected? Or?
Yeah, definitely when there's more exact numbers like that, then the person is much more of a reflection of you, and that's where the oneness of God is more sustained, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes dealing with yourself is not always that easy when you see it in another person.
Right.
And the 19th degree of Aquarius is a need to call upon extra energies to sustain emotional, physical, mental control sometimes needed. Okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Sherry, who's a Gemini with Virgo rising. Hi.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
Fine.
Your topic is interesting today, but I think that I'm going to have to listen back on it again.
Yeah, a little over your head, huh?
Just a little bit, but that's okay. I'll listen to it again.
Okay.
I'm 24 degrees Virgo rising.
Oh, you want me to look up that?
Yeah, would you please?
Most Virgo risings are very detective-like in their approach to life. They're troubleshooters. They're hard workers. Most of them are like worker bees. And the 24th degree of Virgo rising is kind of interesting. It leans toward simplicity of approach, whereas some Virgo rising people can be complicated and tie themselves up in red tape. You prefer the simplicity and innocence of spirit's viewings and a desire to become more loving in truer essence. Okay?
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Sound like you?
Kind of.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jean now, who is a Taurus with Virgo rising, another Virgo rising.
Hi.
Hi, Jean.
I'd like to know my degree.
Okay, what is it?
11 Virgo.
Oh, I like all 11s. 11 is a very magical number. In numerology, it's a master number. And all the people born on the 11th of any month would be the master of their sign. I'm trying to be humble because I'm August 11th, but that's at least what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And Virgo 11 is a desire to bring emotions under control, a curbing necessary of intense nervous reactions. Do you find yourself to be nervous?
I didn't think I was. But...
Oh, all right. Well, then maybe you've curbed it then.
I hope so.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Donna now, Feb 28th, 41, Gemini rising. Hi.
Yes, hi, Harley. I want to find out about my rising.
28 Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been one of those people waiting in line all week to try to get through.
Since yesterday.
Okay, the releasing of pressures of decisions, a concern for immediate community in relation to self's image, a peace entering the mind channels. So when you meditate, that would bring you more balance, okay?
Good, okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Richard now, line 6, Capricorn, Pisces rising. Hi, Rich.
Good morning, Farley. I wanted to find out what my degrees were.
Okay.
And I'm about 10:10 in the morning.
Wait a minute. Do you know your Pisces rising by degree?
No, I don't know it. Actually, I have your astroscope, and I just don't see it on there.
Okay, let's look at the far left edge of the wheel.
Right.
Where it says PI.
Right, got that.
And there should be numbers on top.
4:25.
4 on top, 25 in the bottom.
Right.
So write that down. You're 4 degrees of Pisces rising.
Okay.
And most of all the degrees of Pisces are evolved because Pisces supposedly, as the last sign, has more of the most of the spiritual potential. Okay?
Okay.
And your 4th degree of Pisces reveals a need to relate to society on a realistic basis because you can space out and sometimes dream out too much. A necessity of ridding nature of a martyr image, so some of this meat-eating might bother you,
mm-hmm.
and a tangible effort at coming to ego's defense on issues concerning socialism and all social activities. That's a very powerful degree. Do you relate to that?
It makes a lot of sense, yeah.
All right, Richard.
Thank you very much, Farley.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And once again, these Sabian symbols, these degrees of rising, are significant in helping us understand which I am point we have gained or what vibration we have ascended to and what we can overcome or ascend beyond this lifetime. And like I say, what I believe each rising degree is not a bottom line. You can pick up a book called An Astrological Mandala by Dane Rudyhar, R-U-D-Y-H-A-R, which also goes over all 360 degrees of the zodiac. And you can also look further into your own heart and your own meditation to further interpret your own rising degree to understand your own God point. Let's go to Joan on line 8, Scorpio with Capricorn rising. Hi, Joan.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. Yes, I'm interested in my Capricorn 3 degree.
Right. Oh, I haven't heard that one yet.
No, that's why I called, I guess.
This is a hard one. This one here is one of the lower degrees of Capricorn, and it could zero in on some of your obsessions or attachment to the material world in contrast or correlation to a sign like Libra rising. The 3rd degree of Capricorn, to me, would reveal a need to become more rational, an evaluation of end results and the means to accomplish them, also motive to be considered, and a desire to prove self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So when you rise to the higher vibration of the 3rd degree of Capricorn, as you can see, when you become more rational, when you do evaluate motives to get results, and when you finally prove your self-worth, you can rise up to a very high spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's hard to be rational. Okay.
See, now, wait a second. See, now, you relate then. You really relate to this Capricorn 3 then, don't you?
Of course.
I'm telling you. Sometimes people get this Sabian symbol on their rising sign, And it blows their mind. They walk away and they go, wow, this astrology is weird, you know?
I will say something that you helped me with. You know, for a long time I felt so frustrated because I'm not a success in business in any way or fashion. But when I saw that that's what was in my stars, I began to understand a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't so frustrating. I mean, I don't have to be present now. I just have to understand why I'm at that point. So that astrology has helped me a lot that way.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And some of you that didn't hear the show yesterday, in case you're curious, I heard a couple of transmitted telepathies that people wanted to know what mine was, Libra 20. And, you know, this way you could understand what the gist of where Farley Malaris is coming from. The 20th degree of Libra rising is a desire to inspire from inner acknowledgement of ancient teachings. An accumulation of frustrations explodes into a social revolt for others' sake. Oh, I get just the major chills when I read that. Let's go to Ava, Virgo Cap Rising.
Hi, Farley.
Hi.
Guess what? I've got another career relationship.
Oh, no! Help!
No, that's terrible. But you see, normally when I've called, I've never been able to get in, and today all of a sudden it was just like right now, so I must be able supposed to talk to you. How's that sound?
Boy, I am so fickle. Wow. That is funny. You know what it is? It's not even me. You know, my guide, Helen, helps me do the show, and I consciously channel her. She's the one that's frustrated. She likes to be so metaphysical and so deep, because we really trance out when we get into these deep topics, that when we get to career and relationships and people get selfish with materialistic things in their lives now, that it kind of pulls me back away from her. Isn't that fun? No, it's just funny. I wanted to explain that, because it's like a phenomenon to me, that when I'm being metaphysical and spiritual on the show, I'm much more higher consciousness. And when people get down to money and power and love and lust and sex, then I'm pulled down to my root chakra again, and I don't feel as connected to my guide. And I never noticed that before until today's show.
Uh-uh.
That's weird. That is, no wonder I don't like career and relationships. Okay, so your career is in the dumpster, buddy. No, I'm just kidding.
Tell me about it.
No, tell you about it.
Both my careers and my relationships right now feel like they're in the dumpster.
Yeah, you and me both, I'll tell you. What degree is your Capricorn rising?
My Capricorn, my moon, or my rising? Is it the one below or above?
Above.
25.
Okay, you are shown almost immediate skyrocket surge in career. Part of it might have to do with processing the mess you're in now. Same with relationships. Letting go of the old and creating the new, it's totally cocooned a butterfly right now, and you're very uncomfortable in the cocoon state. Okay?
When's it going to become the butterfly?
Any day now. You're right in the middle of it. It's up to you when to let go of the old and begin the new. Okay?
Can't say that the relationship I'm in is no good.
I don't know. How painful is it?
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
Well, it's up to your own personal desire. Some people like pain.
Oh.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Margaret now, a Virgo Sag rising high.
Hi, I wanted to know about the degree of my rising sign.
Oh, right. I can shift back to consciousness mode again. Gosh. Wasn't that amazing how I saw that and it was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, what degree is your Sag rising?
Zero.
Boy, that is funny. Okay, now I would tend to think that the 0 degrees of Sag rising is a need to throw off the chains of enslavement and restriction, a need to be totally free and philosophical, a need to throw off the childlike self and memories of the childhood to look forward to maturity and also to spiritual growth.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay, let's see. We got time for a couple more calls here. Let's see who's next. Nancy online. Nancy, are you on line 7?
Yes.
Okay, can we help you?
Yeah, I just have a general question about health, if you could give me a scan about that.
How are you feeling?
Not real well, and I'm looking at my astroscope, and it says I'm feeling terrific, and I'm not.
Well, what's the matter?
I just seem to lately be catching every bug that goes around, and I'm not entirely sure why.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, maybe it's a Russian plot, because a lot of people are like that right now. You know, sometimes I think with a chart like yours, you might want to get out from amongst them in this environment here, because you are so sensitive and sometimes vulnerable with Scorpio rising, you may tend to reflect the environment. And I think you're worried about a lot right now, too, especially money and love factors.
Yeah.
So that stuff will internalize and make you sick.
Oh.
So sometimes what you should do is go away from it, remove yourself from it for a couple weeks, and heal yourself. Okay?
Sounds great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye to the rest of you. We'll see you real soon. Weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon. Have a nice day.